Hey, what's up, Chicago? Guess what? That's right. It is that time. It's that time. It's that time. It is Wisdom Wednesday. It is October the 5th, 2016, and Taking the Limits Off is on the air live from the West Side Studios, located on the third floor of Kingdom Missionary Baptist Church. We have an outstanding show for you on today. I'm excited. Look here, y'all. So look, in case you didn't know, I'm going to tell you right now. See, I'm not in the actual studio today. I'm actually at home in the Batcave, doing the show from the Batcave today. However, the show must go on. It has Batmobile issues. I don't even want to get into that foolery this morning. But hey, it is what it is, and we're going to keep the show going anyway. Amen. It's going to be a good time. So had to do the show from the Batcave today. Had to do a little bit something different, but we're going to be all right. You know what I'm saying? All right, so let's jump into. Let me give y'all the rundown pretty much on how you can contact the show. If you are listening, you've already called in the show, simply put one and you can be a part of the show. If you've already called in, just push one and you can be a part of the show. If you are listening via Blog Talk Radio, simply dial area code 347-934-0546, code 347-934-0546, and we'll get that. Love to have you on the show. If you are on social media, so are we. Simply go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TTLO radio. Again, that's facebook.com/TTLO radio. We'd love to hear from you there. Read that email over the air. And last but not least, iTunes. You can go to the iTunes account, download the podcast, simply do a search for Taking the Limits Off with Dana and Devon, and you'll be able to find us right there. Yeah, that should be good. So I understand the sound might be a little crazy. I need to adjust this microphone. Hopefully I get that fixed for you in a matter of minutes. Tanya, let me know if that clears up at all. I should be able to do something with it on my end. This is what happens when you're not broadcasting from the studio. Stuff happens. So you have to just deal with it as it comes. Amen. So I'm going to take a quick break. As I take this break, I'm going to try to get this sound right. I'm going to give you guys a little bit of this I Won't Go Back by William McDowell. We'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
Yeah. forgiven.
My past
is over.
It's over.
We are back. We are back. Should be good to go. Sorry about that. Man, trying to do too much at one time. That's what's happening. That's pretty much what's happening. But we are back live from the Batcave. Live from the Batcave. Live from the Batcave. But we are back. Had to get rid of some stuff, but we should be good to go. But man, look, I'm excited. I'm excited about today. Today's topic of conversation should be really, really good, man. Should be really good. You ready for this? You ready? I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. It is, man. This is going to be so good. Does it matter how the preacher dresses? Does it matter how the preacher dresses? That's going to be good because one of the biggest topics, one of the biggest, you would have no idea how sometimes something which seems so trivial, how sometimes something that could seem so trivial could cause churches to cause people to have a lack of unity or cause some sort of discord amongst the people. So this is going to be good. But again, the topic of conversation for today is, man, does it matter how the preacher dresses? That should be good. That should really be good. Hopefully you all will enjoy that when we get to it. I'm excited. I'm really excited about it. So that should be good. But look here. So much stuff is going on, man. So much stuff is going on right now. Last night we had the vice presidential debate. Don't know if you hopefully you had a chance to watch it, but it was on last night. And you know what? It wasn't. It just shows you the big contrast between someone like Donald Trump and his running mate. It's actually pretty scary how different the difference between Donald Trump and his running mate. It's absolutely it boggles the mind, actually, that these two people could actually be on the same page. I mean, really, it's amazing to me that they are on the same page, because I just find it it's almost crazy that these two are on the same team. Because Mike Pence, regardless of what your thought process is, Democrat or Republican, Mike Pence is still he was calm. He was cool. He was collected. It was just so much. It was just so different than anything we've seen as far as this Trump campaign goes. And I just find it, you know, almost a little crazy, actually, that this is where we are with this, man. So, you know, hopefully you guys got a chance to watch it again. Now, what was so amazing about last night, though, was when Vice President Tim Kaine reached out to start to make comments about, or started to bring up the comments that Trump had made. When he started to bring up these comments, one of the things that stuck out was the fact that Mike Pence never defended Donald Trump's comments. He would never defend his comments, which was the scariest thing I've ever seen in my life. He made no effort whatsoever to defend Trump's comments. And it, and people are now wondering, well, is Mike Pence trying to set himself up for his next campaign? Is he trying to get his name ready to be shown as the positive candidate? Is he trying to get his name ready to be shown as the candidate, you know, who can take the Republican Party to the next level? I just found that so interesting on so many different levels that he would never defend, because he got asked about some of the worst statements that Donald Trump has made during this campaign, and he did not defend of them. He did not defend any of them. So, again, real quick, Facebook Live is not running. Facebook Live is not up and running. So I know some of you guys are a little disappointed, but it is not running right now. Couldn't get the camera to cooperate. I think it was pulling too much at trying to do that at the same time with doing the broadcast. And at the end of the day, the broadcast is more important than Facebook Live. So we are going to put something up on the Facebook page just to let people know how we are, that they can then call in and listen to the show. They can call and listen to the show for right now. I will try to get Facebook Live up in a minute using a different device. So, you know, that's where we are. But, man, it's just so crazy, the vice presidential debate. But there's something else I want to talk about, y'all, and it's really, really crazy. And when I tell y'all, when I say really, really crazy, I mean really, really crazy. What's the deal with these clowns popping up all over the city and all over Chicago? These, and I know, I guess it's supposed to be a Halloween type situation, but seriously, what's the deal with clowns? Can somebody educate a brother? I'm serious. What is the deal with the clowns? Because it literally, you have these, and they're supposed to be, I'm assuming they're supposed to be scary clowns, but they are causing some major issues. And now they're like out there, and I don't know if these people are just out here doing the whole Halloween thing, or are they out here just to be are they out here to really cause some sort of inflict some pain or something? I'm really, really confused. I am really confused as to exactly what the purpose of these clowns are, but they are popping up all over the city of Chicago, and it's very strange. I mean, I don't know if you've seen it, but there's like been all types of issues going on here, and they're calling it the creepy clown scenario is what it's being called. It's being called the creepy clown thing, and literally all over Chicago for the last few weeks, for the last week or so, there's been these sinister clowns going on, and it's not just here in Chicago, but it's all over the place. Now, I'm only going to tell you about the ones in Chicago, but this is not like just something that's going on here, because it's national right now, and I'm a little thrown by it. And one of the articles that I saw today was very strange. It was like two creepy clowns. This was on CBS CBS's website, Channel 2 News website. They were talking about the creepy clowns are running around cemeteries and city streets, scaring people. This is what the article says. There have been reports around the county and now here in Chicago too, where literally they said a Chicagoan had a close encounter with a nocturnal clown earlier this month. So what's happening is they're just showing up outside of people's houses and they're just standing there. They're not moving. They're not doing anything. Now, I've never been one who's had a fear of clowns, so stuff like that has never bothered me. But I could see how if you are in a situation where, you know, you going home at night, coming into your garage, and there is some clown, literally someone dressed up in a clown suit. You know what I mean? Someone dressed up in a clown suit standing in front of your door. That could be a problem. It really, really could. So it's insane. I'm all for a good. I used to love. I'm all for a good Halloween joke, and all that stuff. But I am just not. I am just not good at all. Thank you. Okay, I'm getting the notes that the sound is better. I am just not good at all with this whole scary clown situation. It's just crazy. Once again, if you're just joining us. Facebook Live, we're having some issues. I'm doing the show from the house today, or from the Batcave, rather, today. Couldn't get the Facebook Live up and running. However, the show must go on. So anybody who wants to listen to the show, we're going to put a note up. Matter of fact, Tanya, can you put a post up and tell people, put a note up on the TTLO page and let people know that they can call in and listen to the show, because there'll be no Facebook Live and no Ustream today. Strictly going to be audio today, y'all. Strictly going to be audio today. But it's all good. It's all good. It's all good. But yeah, this whole scary clown thing is weird. So we're going to move on. But also today here in Chicago is the police vote. It's time for the police department or the city rather to vote on community policing. So that's the big thing right now that's going on here locally. It's time for the city of Chicago to do its vote. So the city council is meeting right now here downtown Chicago to vote on the ordinance for community policing. And it's something that really needs to happen. But we want to get this thing voted on so that we can have some real accountability when it comes to our police departments. We've had so many issues that we're all aware of. The whole country is aware of what's going on here in Chicago, and it's just one of those things where it's time. It's time we have some real accountability for our police departments. And currently we don't, you know, everything is done in-house. So it's like the police policing the police, and there's really no real, it's not credible, I guess is the better word. It's not credible for what's going on right now, because we just can't trust the investigations that are going forward, because right now there seems to be a lack of there's a lack of honesty, actually, when it comes to these types of things, because we're not getting real substantive results, because there's been too many times of police misconduct, and the community is left to fend for itself. And when the community is left to fend for itself, you get, I think you would have less, we would have less marches and less riots if people felt like they were getting a fair shake. And right now, that's not the case. Right now, it's just not the case. So that vote is happening right now with the city council to vote on the proposed to vote on the change for police misconduct. I'm going to give you a little bit of what it says. They're actually there right now. This was as of 56 minutes ago. It says city council will vote Wednesday on forming a new police accountability board known as COPA. The ordinance to establish a new civilian office of police accountability, ironically, does not include a role, but it does not include a role for civilians in the proposed process. That aspect will be negotiated at determined sometime next year. So, see, here is the problem. This is supposed to be a civilian-based police accountability program. The problem is, as it stands today, there is not one civilian on the roster, not one civilian listed on the committee. How are you going to call something a civilian office of police accountability, police accountability, when there are no civilians on this thing? None. Once again, it leads us to this area of it leads us to this area of how can we trust the information we're getting? How can we trust the information we're getting when what you're telling us right now is that you have a fancy name for it, but none of the people who are listed are actually on the committee? How insane is that? I mean, literally, how crazy is that this is where we are right now, and there's no accountability at all when it comes to this thing? None whatsoever. It's sad. It really is. It's really sad that this is where we are, and I would hope this gets corrected soon. I would hope it gets corrected soon, because right now, as it stands, we're not getting anything. We're not getting anything at all. So I don't even know how they can go forward with this. I know there were different levels of this police accountability proposal that were submitted, and the one that they're trying to pass is the one with the least amount of bite, meaning it has no real meat to it as it currently stands. As it currently stands, there's no real meat to it, which in itself is a problem. So I'm really hoping that this gets a better look. That this gets a better look. That's my hope. Literally, that's my hope. I just hope it gets a better look, and we're not still looking at this 6 months from now, where they've passed this ordinance that has, and we can't see any real improvement in our local policing. So I just want to read a little bit more of this. It says here, city council committees worked with Mayor Rahm Emanuel's office for several months to hammer out a structure for the new system to investigate claims of police misconduct in Chicago. All of this is growing out of the Laquan McDonald shooting controversy and years of police abuse lawsuits that have cost the city, watch this, hundreds of billions of dollars. It says, the Chicago Police Safety Committee approved Tuesday Emanuel's vision to revamp the way police wrongdoing is being investigated. after a marathon meeting where tempers flared and some protesters were escorted out of City Hall. It says, what we're asking for is a democratically elected body that will be able to not just discipline the police, but also set police policies and determine how our communities are policed. So, again, it seems right now, I know for a fact that Community Renewal Society was also out being a part of this, and they were trying to lay some real groundwork where some real significant change could take place. And they were down at City Hall yesterday protesting and saying, you know, what they wanted to happen. And pretty much, you know, here's where we are. And there's no real, again, there's no real meat to it. There's no real evidence that anything new is being changed. So, you know, it is what it is, but hopefully there's going to be some changes coming down the pipeline that we can all be comfortable with, that we can all be comfortable with, and move forward. That's our prayer. Our prayer should be that we can that this city recognizes that we are a powder keg. That we are a powder keg, and the current situation is no longer acceptable. It's no longer acceptable, and if we try to maintain it at its current level, if we try to maintain it at its current level, it'll do us no good, and it'll actually cause us more harm than good. So that's just my prayer that we can get a little bit better than what we're currently doing. Amen. Amen. So look, I'm excited about so many things that's happening in and around us. I sat in on a meeting. I want to give you guys a little heads up. I sat in on a meeting yesterday with some community leaders in the Austin area yesterday. And man, the meeting was very productive. What we're working on is actually putting a response team together on the west side of Chicago, because really we don't really have one. A lot of times when something happens on the west side of Chicago, what actually ends up happening is people from the south side. People from the South Side actually end up coming over here and talking and meeting with our people and then, you know, making promises to people. And then once that stuff happens, you can't find them. You can't find them. So one of the things that we're looking to do is build that coalition on the west side. We want to build that coalition on the west side. So I was really excited and happy to be a part of that meeting yesterday here on the west side with the west side community leaders. And when I say community leaders, let me say this. I'm not talking about all the people with the quote unquote titles. I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about the people who live community, the people who are actually out doing the work, the people who are actually out and about in the street doing the real work of the community. Those are the people that I'm talking about. Those are the people that I'm talking about. So once again, I was glad with what came out as a result of that meeting. So we will be forming here on the west side a response team. And my brother Jody, he was at that meeting yesterday. And, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, and here's the thing. It's not going to be something that's just thrown together. You know, we're actually working with people so that we can get training on how to handle these situations when they arise. So if someone is shot, if someone is injured, you know, so we know how to go out and not get in the way of the police, but still be there for the families of the victims or whoever, whether it be gun violence, fire, or whatever. So it's stuff like that that we need to make sure that we're doing and doing it right. So, you know, want to say a big, big shout out again to, you know, I know the police get a lot of bad, the police get a lot of bad rap, but big shout out to Commander Betts at the 15th District for this committee that, because he wants it. He recognizes that is needed. So this is something that he wants as well. And the quicker we can do this, the quicker we can get them established over on the West Side, especially in the Austin community, the better we'll be. The better we'll be. It's something that's absolutely needed, and you know, it's one of the things that we're working on. And I'm just happy to be a part of this particular community. Okay, y'all. So I was able to get the Facebook Live up and running again. I'm at home. I ain't in the studio today. I'm in my back cave. So, but Facebook Live is up and running. Thank y'all for your patience. I do appreciate y'all over here on Facebook Live. I appreciate y'all. So look, that's another thing. I do want to send condolences out. Definitely want to send condolences out. Okay. I definitely want to send condolences out to the Northwood River District moderator. It's a sad, he lost his father this past week, and Pastor Ricky Guyton. So we definitely want to send our condolences out to him and his family on their loss. And so we definitely want to do that. I wanted to make sure I addressed that before I moved on, because anytime you lose anyone, it's sad. But definitely when you have to bury a parent, you know, that's always something that you know, none of us are prepared for, but it is, you know, it's a part of life, and it's just one of the things that we, as being humans, it's what we have to deal with. So our prayers would definitely be with him. That's Pastor Ricky Guyton over at Christ Church. Again, we want to definitely keep him and his family in our prayers for their loss of Deacon Guyton. I believe he was still a deacon at the church over there. So we definitely want to do that. So, man, look, so much stuff. Happening. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to take a quick break, right? Take a real quick break. And when we come back, we're going to jump right into today's conversation. Should be good. Should be good. Y'all know it is, right? It is. It's going to be good. It's going to be good. Today's conversation is really going to be good. Does it matter? That's what it is. That's the article. That's what the article says, right? Does it matter how the preacher dresses? Does it matter? Does it matter how the preacher dresses? I don't know. Some people have some real strong thoughts about this. Some people have some real strong posts about this, and I'm just looking forward to hearing some feedback or I'm just looking forward to hearing some feedback just to get everybody's opinion on what's going down. That's what I'm looking for. I just waiting for the feedback. So it's going to be good. But I'm gonna take a quick break. And when I get back, we're gonna finish the conversation, and we're gonna jump right into this thing, man. This is going to be good. So I'm gonna leave y'all with a little bit more of this, some more of this William McDowell. Nah, we're gonna switch it up. Give a little bit of this Marvin Sapp. my testimony. I'll be right back, y'all. TTLO.
if you see me cry. It's just a sign that I'm still alive. I got some scars, but I'm still alive. In spite of calamity, he still has a plan for me. It's working for me.
That's all right. That's all right, right? That's good old Marvin Sapp, boy. That's all right. But we good. God is good. So glad. So glad I made it. Look, y'all, we are back. We are back live. Live, taking the limits off, back on the air, possibly back on Facebook Live. It looked like it might be working. You want to take your chances, go for it. Otherwise, man, pass the word. If you want to call in, you want to call in to the show, it's real simple. Area code 347-934-0546. Again, the number to call in is area code 347-934-0546. All right. So we got this great article, right? And this is good. This is good. Does it matter how the preacher dresses? Does it really matter how the preacher dresses? You know, so many places have dress codes. We have dress codes at work. We have dress codes in different organizations that we are a part of. But the question that this article is going to touch on is, does it matter how the preacher dresses? So here it is. Here it is. This is the writer. The writer, this is good. The writer is Joe McKeever. We've used his articles before. And this is what he says. He says, I posted a paragraph on Facebook calling for pastors to dress to inspire confidence and not to look like they've been out hitchhiking all night. It's important to note that I did not say he should wear the uniform of the previous generation, a coat and a top, but merely to dress one step in front of most of the men in the church, whatever that means. 24 hours later, this is what he says, we had 245 comments. Wow. He says, if I see you standing at the pulpit, one of the comments said, if I see you standing at the pulpit wearing a suit and tie, I'm out of there. How crazy is that? How crazy is that? Then he says, then the next one says, he says, I smiled at that. He says, the fellow who said it was so dead set on making sure the church does not put too much emphasis on the appearance that, well, he in turn put too much emphasis on the appearance. He says, as I write, the television set in this motel room is running the results of last night's Iowa caucuses. He says, at some point, I noticed something about the men for nomination for president. All were wearing suits and white shirts and ties. He says, this is what he says. He says, why? He says, watch any newscast. The anchor men are wearing suits and ties. How come? He says, this cannot be accidental. It cannot be because they're stuck in a rut, nor can it be because they're trying to flaunt their wealth or impress the world. These people never do anything. Repeat. Never do anything without good cause. So why do the candidates and the anchor people dress up when they go to work? He says, we will pause here while you consider your answer. This is going to get good. This is going to get good. He says, at the same time, drop in on the typical church and you may be stunned to see that the fellow who looks like a hitchhiker just in from the other day on the highway turns out to be the preacher. His jeans need pressing and his T-shirt, his jeans need pressing and the T-shirt he's wearing looks like he has worn it all day. His shoes, sneakers with a lot of miles on them. Some in the congregation actually take pride in the sloppiness of the preacher's attire. They say the object is to make the outsider comfortable on entering the Lord's house. They say the preacher is making a statement against the overemphasis of the previous generations on externals, on dressing up for church. Okay, so this is something, this is not a new thing. This is not something that any of us should be shocked by, but this is something that we in the church have encountered for quite a while. How many times have you been a part of a church or been at a church where it seems like more focused on the attire of what everyone was wearing versus the physical and spiritual needs of the people? How many times have we been in those situations? And that's a real question. That's a real question. How many times have we been in those situations where you've been to churches and the main concern was that where they were more concerned about outward appearance? They were more concerned about the outward appearance than they were about the appearance or how a person's heart and sold were. So I think when we read an article like this, when we encounter something like this, it does make you think. So the reason this article stuck out for me, because I know what it's like to be in that situation. You all have heard me say this over and over again. I've never been a fan of wearing what we call preacher garments, ministry garments. I don't have a problem with putting on a nice suit. Y'all know that. I ain't got no problem putting on a suit. However, I think when it comes to ministry, we need to be very careful with how we proceed when we're bringing people into the fold, that our obsession or our need to look alike does not call us to further separate or separate more than we currently are. So that's just something. That's part of the reason why this article stood out. So let's go. This is how the writer continues the article. He says, "Now, if you want to incite a holy reaction, if you want to incite a holy reaction against hypocrisy and superficiality, say something about how the preacher is dressed. You're not even saying he should wear a coat and a tie, but only that he should dress up a little. Watch the reaction to your simple suggestion." Watch the reaction to your simple suggestion. Because I'm going to tell y'all, people take this thing very seriously, and I'm not saying it to be funny. I'm not saying it to try to draw people in or to get anybody upset. But people take this thing seriously when it comes to attire, and especially the attire of the one who's preaching, especially the attire of the one who's preaching. So watch this. This is what he says. This is how he goes on. He says, the comments will include this when you make the simple suggestion. He says, "See, that's why I don't go to church anymore. The emphasis on clothing, or God doesn't look on the outward appearance, or a suit and tie would turn off the people we're trying to reach, or my jeans cost more than my grandpa's entire outfit. Or only the heart matters, or we want the outsiders to feel welcome here." The writer says, this is tempest in a teacup. He says, I suggest is ridiculous. We may as well be championing the outsiders. He says, lack of musical taste and installing heavy metal music, we turn them off. Oh, wait, we're already doing that. At one point, the call for pastors to dress down was well-intentioned, I will grant. He says, Rick Warren with his Hawaiian shirts, remember those, is probably as much to blame as anyone. He says, oh, God, this is good. He says, because I'm white-headed and in my 70s, I have no right to speak about such a thing, right? He says, there was a time in the Jurassic past, I suppose, when the seniors among us were assumed to know little and were given respect when they voiced their opinion. Those days are distant memory. This is what he says. This generation automatically dismisses the point of view of anyone older than their parents. I'm going to disagree with that part of this because I don't. It's not that we disagree. Let me defend the younger generation, even though I am not as much a part of the younger generation, you know, me being 46 and all. But let me defend this part. It's not that we don't respect what they say. The issues come when they don't, when the younger generation feels as though they're not even being heard. That's when the issues arise. They feel like they're not being heard. And when that happens, then you have, that's when you have the conflicts. That's when you have, you know, some issues come up. So this is what he says. This is what he says. He says, my late pastorate, this is the writer, my late pastorate was from 1900 to 2004. He says, to show how completely things have changed in one decade, it was my practice to give up the necktie during August, 1 month a year. I did not wear a necktie at night. He says, yep, I wore a tie on Sunday morning, every Sunday. But for the evening services, for 1 month of the year, we shucked our ties. These days, the tieless preacher is the norm. He says, it's my it's errant ministry, what some might call retirement, or interment ministry, some might call retirement. He says, host pastors usually send word ahead of time that no one wears a tie. And he says, frankly, I'm not unhappy about that. And that, I guarantee, is going to make some contradicting myself here. But listen, he says, from the beginning, the casual look in the pulpit was a reaction against the emphasis on fashionable clothing, as people donned persona for Sunday church different from who we were during the week. As I say, the change was well-intentioned. Can we talk about that? Because here is the deal. Now, I wouldn't expect especially a bivocational pastor. I wouldn't expect a bivocational pastor to dress like he dressed for work to come to church. Why do you say that? What if you work for this in Chicago, the CTA? I don't expect you to show up dressed in your CTA uniform to preach. Now, I don't expect you to wear what you wear if you were a garbage truck driver or anything like that, because that's not who you are. That's a job you do. It's a job you do, and this is the requirement or uniform necessary for the job. Okay, so then this is what he says. He says, but that trend has run its course in my judgment. In fact, it has flat run in the ditch. He says, I see preachers entering the pulpit wearing T-shirts that stretch to cover their pouch. He says, I wonder if they have any idea how ridiculous they look. He says, anyone who knows the first thing about me is aware that I'm completely committed to encouraging pastors. That was one of the three vows I made to God during a difficult time in my ministry over 25 years ago. He says, I vowed to simply give generously and encourage God's shepherds. He says, not long ago, a young pastor friend where I was preaching confided in me that he would no longer be open to moving to another church if the Lord so led. He says, that's when I made a suggestion. The way you dress in the pulpit fits right in with your congregation, I told him. But a pastor search committee is going to want a little more professionalism than what you are showing. He says, if I were you, I'd dial it up a notch. He took that counsel and in the manner in which it was given and has since thanked me for it. He says, I will admit that finding a young pastor who is open to suggestion about these things is refreshing. Let's talk about this for a second, because here is a situation, and I had this happen. I had this happen. Those of you who've been listening to the show for a while know that in my previous employment or my previous career history, I was always in a management position, supervisory, management, director, whatever you want to call it. I've always been in those positions. And part of that was dealing with the interview process, you know, having to interview people, having to sit down and talk to people. And, you know, I was always taught as a young man, whenever you were going to a job interview, it was in your best interest to dress up. Even if you were going to an interview at McDonald's, I just think it's in your best interest to dress up because, as they say, you only get one opportunity or one chance to make a good first impression. So I say that to say this. In the process of me doing interviews for the last company that I was with, we were starting a brand new call center at the time. So I was interviewing people. For this call center. And if you just got in part of the show, we're talking about today's topic of conversation is real good. It's real good. It's a real good conversation. Does it matter how the preacher dresses? That's the article for today. Does it matter how the preacher dresses? So I was saying this. The young man came in. He sat down to do the interview with me, and he literally came in jeans and a T-shirt with some Timberland boots. Now, mind you, everybody else who I had scheduled to interview, you know, all the men either came in with a shirt and tie, or they came in a suit and tie, or jacket and a, you know, button-down shirt tie. That's how the guys came. When the women came to interview for the job, they either, you know, they were dressed professionally. So this young man sat across from me in my office in jeans and a T-shirt. And I listened to him interview. He was African American, and one of the things that I've always done, and this is just something for me that I've always done as long as I have been in management positions, I believe in trying to look out for our people. Because our people, when I say our people, black folks, we are looked over quite often when it comes to jobs. And I believe in giving our people opportunities. So when doing interviews, I create piles of applications and resumes. I have my A pile, which I'm going to call right away. I have my B pile, which are those who were good. They just weren't good enough to reach the A pile. And if somebody falls out of the A pile, I then put them or elevate someone from the B pile. Well, this young man gave a good interview. And he just wasn't dressed properly. So I put him in the B pile. Stay with me. Don't miss this. I put him in the B pile. Well, someone fell through. I called him in, and I thought about it after the fact, and I called him over the phone, and I said, can you come back in for a second interview? And this is what he was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that, I can do that. I said, do me a favor. I said, when you come in, please dress like you're coming to an interview. And he said, oh, yeah, okay, no problem. So this time when he came back, he had on a shirt, tie, slacks. And he's sitting there across the table from me, and I'm talking to him, so I'm prepared to offer him the job. And he said, well, I actually am on my way to another interview, and, you know, can I call you back this evening? I said, sure, no problem, no big deal, you know, because I was still doing interviews. So anyway, he ended up not taking the job. 3 or 4 months passed. I kept his file. He called me back trying to see if we were still hiring. I explained to the young man that we weren't, but then when I looked in his file, I read my notes. And I asked him how he was doing, and I said, you know, well, had you still been interviewing? He said, yeah. He says, I went to this one interview, and they wouldn't even talk to me. So I asked him a question. I said, how are you dressed? He said, excuse me? I said, how are you dressed? He said, man, I just had on a shirt and some jeans. So I went on. Now, I felt compelled because he was a young guy. He had to be like 20. And obviously no one was talking to him or trying to educate him on what he needed to do. I said, little brother, are you still, because I noticed where he lived. I had his information. I said, can you meet me downtown for lunch? And he was like, yeah, I can do that. No. And so I said, yeah. So he came down and we went to the food court across the street. And I sat there and I talked to him, and he had on something similar to what he had on for the first interview, jeans and a T-shirt. I said, you can't dress like this when you're trying to impress people. Your resume is not going to be enough. I said, your resume gets you in the door, but what I hear and see when I talk to you face to face is what's going to get you the job. And I said, I don't care how good your conversation is. When you show up like this, you're not going to get the job. I told him, I said, now, here is the sad part about it. We don't have a dress code at this company. How you were dressed really shouldn't matter. But when you're doing an interview, sometimes you're not even interviewing with the person that's going to be managing you. You're interviewing with an HR person or a committee or whoever it is. They're going to pass you on to somebody else. But if they get a vibe off of you that you're not professional, that you're not prepared, you don't make it past that stage. So he had this look on his face because obviously no one had ever had that conversation with him. And it crushed me because I could see the disappointment in his face, but now he knew. Now he knew. Fast forward, because I know we ain't got time. Fast forward the story. A year or so passed, I get an email. It shows up in the hiring emails that we had. I get an email from this guy. He says, hey, how you doing, Mr. King? This is, whoever. And he says, I just want you to know, man, I've been working now for the last 6 months, and I just came across your email. I wanted you to know I took your advice. I went to another interview. He says, I went and bought me a suit. And he was like, they called me the same day and gave me the job. He says, I've been working here for over a year now. He says, you have no idea. He says, I was hurt and I was upset when I left talking to you. He says, but after I talked to some other people, they only confirmed what you said. So it's and I try, and especially with our young boys, our young men, it's all in the approach. We have to be able to tell them, where you go to work, it's going to, when you go for the interview, the dress code might be different. When I interviewed for the job that I had, I came in wearing a suit. The guys who interviewed me had on Tommy Bahama shirts, shorts, and sandals. When they called me in for the second interview, they told me, this is what they told me now. They told me, hey, Dana, we want you to come in. We want to talk to you. And it was like, don't forget, we kind of laid back on the dress code, whatever. And I'm like, yeah, okay. When I showed up for the second interview, I still had on a suit and a tie. Why? Because I didn't have the job yet. So Dana, preacher, what are you saying? Dress like you don't have the job yet. Dress like you're still trying to get the job. You cannot show up at a job interview looking any kind of way. Ladies, I know y'all like your clothes. I know you like your tight-fitting outfits. But watch this. Be conservative for the interview. I don't care if you have to look like a librarian when you walk in. Just show up looking like you are someone dependable. Because when you show up looking like I'm getting ready to go to the club or I'm getting ready to go shoot baskets on the basketball court, you're not going to get an interview. Or your interview is going to get cut short real quick. So I'm just saying this because we're talking about this article. This is something we really need to work on in our community. It really is. All right, let's keep going. Let's keep going. This is what he says. This is what he says. He says, the time has come to reverse the trend. He says, the time has come to reverse the trend. He says, I urge preachers to turn up the dial a notch, to dress a little better, to dress a little better than the slopping hitchhiking model they've been giving for the, to the Lord's people. He says, some say teens are turned off by overdressed preachers. Teens are turned off by overdressed preachers. He says, my responses are several. No one is suggesting you overdress, just dial it up a notch. He says, in many cases, just a starched dress shirt, not necessarily white, and slacks or khakis, sometimes with a sports coat. He says, since when do preachers alter their approach to suit the juveniles in the congregation? Wow. Since when do preachers alter their approach to suit the juveniles in the congregation? Can I pause right there for a moment? Because this is two-sided. One of the things that I have noticed, especially with the way ministry has changed lately, is that you don't always see preachers dressed up. Because watch this. If you're only trying to reach a certain age group, then they're going to be attracted to not only what they hear, but what they see. That doesn't mean you have to lower your standard. I don't believe you should ever lower your standard so that the people around you can feel comfortable. I don't believe you should ever do that. However, I don't see anything wrong, for one, with a preacher coming into the pulpit with jeans and a sports coat. Now, if I come in the pulpit with some jogging pants on and some gym shoes, trust me, there is a theme behind it. It's not the norm. It's not the norm. Okay, it's definitely not the norm. He says this. Since when do we let the unchurched or the immature set the direction for anything in the church? He says we do when we've lost our directions ourselves. He says, it's time for preachers to look and act like the adults in the room. Quit following the kids and start showing them proper respect for the Lord's house, the Lord's service, and the worship of the Lord. Watch this. He says, honestly, most teens are not turned off by the preacher wearing a coat and a tie. What they will think, you may not be able to handle this, is that he is the adult in the room. The problem, of course, is with the preachers. So again, you don't have to lower your standard. You don't have to lower your standard. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some absolute extremes. There are some absolute extremes when it comes to some pulpit attire, which is just absolutely it's very disheartening for a lot of preachers. It gets to a point where, you know, you go to some churches. I know at certain churches, if you go to that church on the first Sunday, they're going to ask you, if you come and they ask you to sit in the pulpit, if you don't have a robe, they're going to give you a robe. Because they literally got robes hanging up in a closet somewhere. I've been to some churches where they say, hey, we need you to put a robe on. I'm like, what? Now, I wasn't planning on sitting in the pulpit anyway, so it didn't really affect me. But that was literally like, we got some robes in the back. We can give you one. And I'm like, well, good thing I'm sitting in the audience. I mean, because I get it. It's really traditional. But if someone comes to your church, if he's a minister or a preacher, and you invite him to the pulpit, you invited me over gives me a level of comfort that you're okay with what I have on. Because don't turn around and invite me over and then when I get there tell me, oh, by the way, I need you to change clothes now that you're here. See, ain't no God in that. I don't care what you say. There's no God in that. You cannot think that it's that important. Because we're talking about the word here. We're talking about the word of God. I don't want anybody to miss that. But we're talking about the word of God. This is what he says. As it often does, this comes down to preachers. He says many preachers tend to be followers, not leaders. They make decisions out of fear and not faith. Once they learn someone is criticizing them for preaching on tithing, then the last thing they'll mention, that'll be the last time they mention that subject for a year. He says, hearing that someone is unhappy over his haircut or facial hair, the typical preacher will let it grow out or shave it off. He says, no one likes criticism, granted. No pastor enjoys hearing that he was the subject of discussion around a family's dinner table. No pastor who makes decisions from fear or criticism has the right to stand in God's pulpit on Sunday. I have to agree with that. You can't be afraid to make decisions. Even something as simple as this. Now, again, the appearance does matter. The appearance does matter. And watch this. What if you have a young preacher who comes to you and he accepts his calling? And you know, he's a young man, you know, and you know, when he comes to your church, you see him. He wears jeans and a T-shirt. Or jeans and a polo, you know, my standard attire during the week. if that's what he wears, and that's all he has, stay with me. That's all he has, and he comes, and you recognize that there's a calling on this young man's life, and then this young man decides to go and do all the things necessary, but yet he still does not have a suit. Rather than you denigrate him for not having a suit, my question is, how many of you preachers or pastors are going to go take him to get a suit? How many of you all are willing to go and take him to get a suit or to sit down and have that same conversation with him like I had with a potential employee? Because it does matter. I think, and it's all in the way you approach it. Absolutely. Again, just for anybody who might have just jumped in, there is no Facebook Live today, no Ustream today, doing the show from the studio at the house today, doing the show from the studio at the house today, so didn't have access to cameras or anything like that. And I tried it, and it didn't work. So anyway, if you have questions or comments, you can easily email the show, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net, takingthelimitsoff@comcast.net. We love to read your email on the air. Yes, we would. So watch this. He says, if clothes do not matter, why such a violent reaction to someone suggesting the preacher and worship leaders ought to dress up and not dress down? He says, this is what he says. A few years ago, one of the startup cut-rate airlines had their cabin crew dressed in short pants and polo shirts. They made a lot of jokes and played games with passengers. They thought people wanted that. They were wrong. What passengers in those death-defying pressurized aluminum tubes rocking through the stratosphere wanted from the crew is competency and professionalism. We do not want airline pilots wearing jeans and pullovers and sneakers. We like seeing them in their uniform. It inspires confidence. See, I'm not that... See, this is where me and this article differ, because that wouldn't bother me in the slightest. My concern is, can you fly the plane? I get it. I mean, I get the inspiring confidence piece. I do. I get it. Don't get me wrong. Please know that I get it. I get it. But yeah. You know, it's just like, you know, like the limo driver. You know, if you rent a limousine or book a limousine or whatever, you know, the limo driver is always dressed in a suit and tie or a shirt and tie, at least. And that's just what we expect from because that's part of the job. Chauffeurs dress suit and tie. That's what we expect. So I get it, but. And, you know, sometimes these scenarios are a little out there. Anyway, let me finish this up. We're almost done. He says, inspiring confidence. That's what it's all about. He say, it's why television networks require their male anchors to wear suits, white shirt and ties. Even sportscasters wear suits and ties. He says, Mike Carrico and John Gruden do their Monday night games dressed better than 90% of the preachers in the land. all with the goal of inspiring confidence. He says, it's why the presidential candidates are wearing suits and white shirts and ties. Sure, they will occasionally don khakis and a polo for a quick bite at a restaurant. But before the day is out, they're back in uniform for some rally somewhere, inspiring confidence. He says, at the New Lord Airport, I picked up a denominational leader who was to address our annual gathering that night. It was a hot day, and yet he was decked out in a suit and a tie. He says, Dr. Frost, are you wearing a suit? It has to be hot. He laughed and said, when the crew is looking for someone to upgrade to first class, they pick me. It happens quite a bit, he said, inspiring confidence. So I get that. I get that. Again, it's one of those things where it's a matter of style and taste. I get that. And for pastors, it's a matter of style and taste. You know, you'll see great you'll see mega church pastors like Pastor T.D. Jakes or Bishop T.D. Jakes, I should say. He'll be in a suit. No problem. Suit. Maybe he'll have on a tie. Maybe he won't have on a tie, but he'll be in a suit. But if you watch another program, he's in a sports coat and some jeans, button down shirt, but he's in a sports coat and some jeans. He's still dressed up. So I think what the article is saying is, let's not try so much to look like the world that we forget the presentation itself. Because when we're giving God something, and when we're giving something to God's people, we should give him our best. So whether you are a preacher or a deacon or whatever, I do believe you should give God your best. Now, there'll be some days but you could make it a congregational thing where you can say, okay, you know, every, you know, fourth Sunday is, you know, is Gene Sunday, and that's it. But even in the pulpit, you know, I think just as ministers in the pulpit, if that's what you, I'm not going to sit in the pulpit without a suit jacket on. I tried it one time and I felt awkward. Seriously, I came to church one Sunday and I had on one of my sweaters. Y'all know I'm the king of sweater vests. And I had on a sweater vest and I sat up there and I literally felt uncomfortable. I'm like, I need a jacket. Because, you know, I had on a tie, but it's just that level of comfort because it's just not – I believe when you have your best, you should do your best. But I do believe we should be teaching our young men and our young women that dress is important, that it does matter. When you're going to work, you should look like you're going to work. My mother will tell you this. I don't know if she's listening to the show right now or not, but my mother will tell you this. You know, I wanted to wear a suit when I was five. That's what the insurance man wore. When the guy came by the house, you know, to pick up the insurance premiums, dude always had on a suit. And he always had money. And in my mind, he was successful. So I looked at it like, well, part of being successful is dressing like you're successful. So I took that to be like, hey, you know, I wanted a suit. I couldn't wait for Easter to roll around to get a new suit. I would beg for suits throughout the year. And even those of you, when I was a kid going to church, going to Kingdom, when I was a kid going to church, there was this whole process of, I told my mom, you know, hey, what suit am I wearing to church today? And even though I'd be sitting back there on the back row while my mother was an usher, I was still had on a tie. Sleep on the back row, I still wore a tie because I thought that was how you dressed. I know times have changed. Things have gotten different. Casual, even businesses and companies have went into business casual. There's nothing wrong with business casual. And sometimes there's nothing wrong with just going casual. I don't think it's an issue at all. I think the issue comes is when we do it and we don't leave room for everyone. Because you have mothers in the church who are just going to dress like mothers in the church. They going to come with their white hats and their white suits or their black suits or whatever. That's just how they going to dress. You have deacons and deaconesses. That's just how they going to dress. You know, so you can't. Now,
But if you give them some head time and say, hey, this is the time that we do this and we do that, and we want to try to change this up, and for no apparent reason, just for comfort. You know, in the summertime, especially when you're in church, you know, especially like at our church at Kingdom, I'm glad, you know, Pastor Ray relaxed the robe rule on Sundays. Because I'm going to tell you right now, sitting up in the pulpit with a polyester robe on is disturbing. It's hot. I don't know if y'all know that or not, because polyester don't breathe. It don't breathe at all. It don't breathe at all. But look, y'all, this was good. I love this article. Let me read one of the comments here. He says from the pastor, he says, I pastor a very contemporary church and started dressing up more than 6 or 7 weeks ago. He says, I looked at myself on camera and felt I looked sloppy. Interestingly, two doctors have joined in the last few weeks. He says, I don't know if there's a correlation, but anecdotally, I think wealthier people are more comfortable with a more sharply dressed pastor. He says, I don't wear a tie, but I wear a slacks and a nice sweater or a crisp shirt. So, again, I think it's based off of it's more of a personal issue. I don't think this should be an issue to separate people or cause people to argue. But I think it is something that we do need to look at, if for nothing else, to train our young people that there is nothing wrong with dressing professional. There is nothing wrong with dressing professional. Nothing at all. Look, y'all, it's about that time for us to get out of here. Let us pray. Father God, and I told y'all, hang up before the prayer. Don't click off before the prayer, because y'all need prayer as much as I do. Amen. Father God, we thank you for the day, God. We thank you for the time we've had. God, we thank you just for being God. God, we ask right now, God, that you would bless every listener that's listening via phone or via Blog Talk Radio right now, God. God, we ask that you would just continue to bless them. And bless their families, God. God, we pray over the family, or we ask a blessing for the family of our moderator, Northwood River District moderator, Pastor Ricky Guyton, and on the loss of his father. God, we lift their family up in prayer. Father, we lift up our own Reverend Cornelius King, who had a mild stroke. We lift him up in prayer. So, God, you've just been good to us, and we just want to bless your name. So it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, y'all, look, got to go. We'll be back in studio on Friday. So looking forward to seeing y'all and talking to y'all. And we'll be out on Madison and Central tonight. See y'all in a few. Y'all stay blessed. Keep your head on the swivel. TTLO.
forgiven.
My past
is over.
It's over.